Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media. You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, it is that time again where we hear what the Lord has in store for us with His Word. We are currently going through our fundamental belief number 6, and we started this one yesterday talking matters of creation. If you want to share your thoughts, your comments with us, we invite you to do so on +27 73 470 3520. And today we are continuing with that discussion, trying to understand the fourth commandment, which speaks to us from Exodus 20 verse 8 to 11, right? Instructing mankind to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why? Why, you ask? Because that remembrance is talking about the culmination of this week. We're going to be discussing the creation week, when God made time to enjoy this world with the human race that He created, and created not to do anything, not to be a slave force, a labor force. No, because He loved them. So we're going to be having a chat with my elder here, Elder Lloyd, who joins us now on the line regarding this. Maybe let's start with the creation, Mdala. Talk to us about that without mentioning the Sabbath. Why did God need to rest? Why can't we mention creation without the Sabbath?
Yes. So while God being omnipotent does not require to rest due to fatigue or His resting, should I say, He didn't need rest due to fatigue. His resting on the seventh day serves as a symbolic purpose. Okay. It emphasizes completion and the fulfillment, setting divine example for humanity. The Sabbath rest represents not only just physical rest, but spiritual peace, reflection, and a celebration of creation.
Okay.
Yes.
I've heard before, Mdala, Utiwa, the Sabbath, or rather the law, the Ten Commandments as we have it, is a transcript of God's character. In other words, it transcends, is as old as He is, basically transcending the age of the earth as we know it. What would this idea of rest, this Sabbath concept, looked like before creation, if it is that it is a part of His character?
Yeah. So God's observance of the Sabbath sets an example for His people, as we have already stated. Mm-hmm. It signifies a time of rest, a time of worship, a time of renewal, as well as a reminder of God's sovereignty over creation. For humanity, and observing the Sabbath is a way. For humanity, observing the Sabbath is a way of reconnecting with God, honor His creation, and reflect upon the purpose and rhythm of life. So basically, when we keep the Sabbath, we are acknowledging that we are the creatures and God is the creator, and we are acknowledging that since God made all the things, He has set for us an example, and we ought to follow it as He is our creator.
Now, Mdala, when you look at the creation week, you find there is order there. I know that He does day one through down to six, but is there any particular significance to the way He puts the things that He puts in the different days? So day one, two, three, He makes spaces, and then day four, five, and six, He fills those spaces. Is there any significance to that kind of order?
I'm not so sure, but what I can say is God created the world through His spoken word.
Okay.
You know, that shows how powerful God is. So He created everything through His spoken word. He spoke everything into existence by saying, "Let there be," and then it was. His creation was orderly and it was intentional, shaping everything in the universe in a structured process over 6 days. Now, there is no thing where we have got all those theories that basically tell us that the world came into existence over 600 years, when the Bible says one day does not necessarily mean one day. Mm-hmm. But the Bible is very clear that God spoke everything He spoke everything over a period of 6 days. He spoke everything into existence. Now, this shows that God has authority. His creation is orderly, and this is basically this divine speech underlines that God's authority and power of this world over this world and over other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It basically underlines the authority that God has and the power that His voice commands or exudes.
You make mention there, Mdala, about how we can trust the scripture because it speaks about a day. But is it not the same scripture where in Peter you will find how he testifies that one day is to God as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as is to one day? So could it be that the creation week is actually 6,000 plus years?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know that there are theories like that, that since the Bible says, there are places where we apply prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to creation, that is not one of them, because if God wanted us to apply it like that, He would have told us so. But in this case, God does not. The Bible simply says that the evening and the evening and the morning constituted the first day.
Okay.
So there is no evening that lasts 500 years and a morning that lasts 500 years. So
okay.
it is clear that the evening and mm-hmm. the morning, mm-hmm. they constitute, the evening and the morning, they constituted the first day. So basically, we can't say that it was over a period of 1,000 years
mm-hmm.
based on the biblical evidence that we get.
Yeah. Now, you spoke about how God was speaking the world into existence as we know it. Many passages making mention of this. Is this the same way He created mankind? Did He change the approach? If so, why?
Yeah. So this is one thing that I love about our God. So
okay.
when He was creating humanity, God shifted from just speaking things into existence and to personally forming human beings with His hands. Now, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7, that He then took the dust of the ground and then He made, I'm basically paraphrasing, or
okay.
I'm basically rewording,
okay.
That God created, He formed us through the dust of the, so He had to be personal. And then afterwards, He then breathed a breath of life. This indicates humanity's unique place in creation, being made in the image of God. The personal touch, the significance, and the intimacy of a relationship God intends to have with us, highlighting that humanity was given dignity and honor of stewardship, of the stewardship role over this earth.
Well, when you read Ecclesiastes,
yeah.
Mdala, it makes mention of how both man and animals will go back to dust where they come from. Is that then to be understood if you're making mention to the reference of Genesis chapter 2, where it speaks about how He made him from the dust of the earth, and that kind of implies then that He used His hands to mold the body of man? Are we to understand that that's how then, since in Ecclesiastes they are being spoken of as returning to the same dust, since they are both from the dust, that even animals as well were made in this particular way, where God shapes the bodies of the different animals with His own hands? Is that how we are to understand that as well?
Yeah. So yeah. Which is when God made humanity, you will realize that mm-hmm. God made humanity after everything had been created. So humanity was the crown of creation. So humanity being the crown of creation, humanity was also given the leadership role of creation. So what is special about humanity is the choice or the responsibility that God lays on humanity. So number one, He creates humanity in a different way. Everything else that was created does not have the ability to reason.
Mm-hmm.
It is only us that have got the ability to reason.
Okay.
Everything else that was created does not have a sense of responsibility. It is only us that have got a sense of responsibility. It is only the land and humanity that have got a responsibility, not a responsibility, but have got a potential to grow and potentially be something else. So there's potential growth. That shows how much God loved us.
Mm.
So we are to basically, we're given the opportunity to be stewards.
Certainly.
And grow. Now, when you are a steward, you don't just do things anyhow. When you're a steward, you don't only look after, but you make sure that you look after and you grow that which you have been given. So responsibility was given to man. So this is why God, when he gives humanity, he says, rule over this earth. And then he gives him the garden and he says, you shall take care of this garden.
Yes.
That shows how much trust God has upon us.
I like that. I like that we're given responsibility, and that's a distinguishing factor. Mdala, maybe 2 points before we then wrap it up for this afternoon. The first one being this idea of a second creation. When we hear the story of creation in this first week, we hear that that's what's completed. That's why he ends up day number seven, or rather day number six, by saying when he had completed, he said this is very good and he was done. But then you hear in chapter three that God now causes other things to come up after sin. For example, when man is cursed, he says, he doesn't curse the man. He says, cursed is the ground because of you, and it will now bring forth thorns and briars. There is an understanding that there was a second creation that came after, as a result of sin, where you then now get the thorns, where you get things that, like, I don't know, some even go as far as saying mosquitoes and flies and other these nasty things in nature are a result of sin and a subject or a response to the second creation. What would be your response to that, Mdala, and your take on that?
Yeah. I love the part which you have just raised, that the earth or everything else becomes cursed for our sins, because everything else was created for men.
Okay.
And this is why even the Sabbath, he says the Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath. I mean, so basically, God set up an environment for men to exist. So this environment is for us to exist in. And when he has done that, when we become faulty, when the human being becomes faulty, it is not only the human being that becomes faulty, but it is everything else that also becomes faulty, because the crowning of this earth is not everything else, but it is humanity. I think it goes back to our daily life, that sometimes what we do does not only affect us, it affects even the surrounding, even the society that we live in is affected by what we do. I mean, you look for instance, nowadays we talk about climate change.
Yes,
this is as a result of what men are doing. So basically, we were created as the crown of creation. So if we are failing to live up to that particular honor that God has given us, it affects everything else. It gives us a great responsibility for us to continually and perpetually be following God's word and be taking care of what God has given us.
Certainly, certainly. Mdala, as we now wrap it up, before you come through to give your summary and your last remarks, you're put it so well, especially this idea of how we now need to respond in like manner, and this responsibility gave us to take care of the earth. Now, one author puts it and says, when God made humanity, he gave them power akin to his, power just like his, power to think and to do just like the Father. Now, I'm just wanting to address, especially in this age of content creators and whatnot, what is our responsibility, Mdala? Is it just to manage, or even to kind of enhance what God has given us? I mean, God gave us trees, but we now are able to make chairs and tables. God gave us earth, but we are able to make houses. God gave us the raw materials, but we're able to modify and make other products of that. Is that something that we should be doing? And maybe just to hear your take on that, this power akin to the Creator.
Yeah. I think basically God gave us leadership, and when you give someone leadership, for instance, when you go and purchase a fridge, or when someone gives you a fridge, the purpose of the fridge is given.
Okay.
it is to do 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the other thing that you then get out of that is you can use it for whatever purpose, as long as it does not violate the purpose of this actual thing that you have been given.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as to whether we are allowed to turn certain things, to repurpose certain things,
uh-huh.
as long as we are not in violation of God's rule, there is absolutely no problem in us repurposing. In fact, God, in Genesis chapter 6, he repurposes the trees that he had given, and he says to Noah, take this trees and make an ark.
Yeah.
So which shows that the trees were meant to be repurposed, because the repurposing of the trees does not exactly impede on God's law. So the only problem is if we are not taking care of the environment or taking more than we are supposed to be taking.
Yeah.
This is where the problem becomes. So as long as we are using enough so that the earth can be sustained, there is absolutely no problem. The problem is when we are taking more than we should be taking and using more than what we should be using. That is where the problem began.
I like that. I like that. Use it responsibly. It goes back to that responsibility that you spoke about earlier, right? To say we need to do it responsibly. And I love how you put it through to say, hey, the fridge is yours to use. It's up to you now if you put harmful products in the fridge or you use it to refrigerate good products. We have that choice. And I pray that we use it again, like you're saying, Mtala, responsibly. Thank you so much, Mtala. Once again, we appreciate your time this afternoon. May God bless you. Until tomorrow.
Thank you so much, and may God bless you and the listeners as well.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.